You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Okay, we're in the live stream, and we're here with Denny, Napoleon Wilson, and Not-So-Freemason. And what's today's date, the 13th?
It's 7th, 2017.
It is indeed. Hiya, Denny. Anyway, we were just chatting there earlier on, and Mason here was telling us, Mason, I'll let you explain it, you know, you started telling us about what you were observing, you know, because you lived in and around where the Aurora shooting took place. So I'll let you.
The Pulse shooting, actually.
If you want to just briefly introduce yourself or just go into the story or whatever.
Well, right now I'm going through my emails because I just remembered on a previous phone, I had emailed Chris right after Chris at Hoax Busters right after the event happened, and I sent him a photo I took of the helicopter.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Don't say, Ab. Sorry about that, man. Continue.
It's all right. I'm about to paste in here the. Okay, my message is too long. Okay, I'll just send, I guess, the part that I can send. Well, so I was telling you guys about, I'm not so Freemason yet. Sorry. I'm kind of trying to multitask here. And yeah, I was telling you guys about my experience right before the Pulse shooting. I live in Kissimmee, which is the town just south of Orlando. And, I'm probably about 15 miles as a helicopter would fly, from the Pulse nightclub. And, I've lived here at this house. I've lived in Kissimmee my whole life, and lived at this house for about 10 years now. I've never seen any kind of military aircraft, ever around here. But for about the 2 or 3 weeks prior to the Pulse nightclub shooting, I was seeing this military helicopter. I could tell it was military because one time I saw it close enough to where I could see the emblem where it's like a circle with bars coming off the sides, almost like a bow tie shape with red, white, and blue and a star in that center of the circle. Which I ended up Googling because I'm like, okay, you know, what is that exactly? I knew it was U.S. military something, but, that's all it signifies is U.S. military. From what I read, it's not strictly Air Force or any specific group. But this helicopter that had like, you know, artillery strapped to the sides of it, rocket launchers or whatever it was. Every day for 2 to 3 weeks, I'd see it fly the same flight path almost directly over my house. And it seems like the only reason it wasn't directly over my house was because it was following the railroad tracks that are probably only a couple hundred yards from my house. And it was loud. I could hear it from inside. I'd be like, there it is again. And I'd run outside and I'd take pictures. So I was going through my email and I found one of the pictures that I took. I put it in the chat. I don't know if you guys can see it.
I'm looking at it here. Yeah.
So that's, I'm sitting in on my back porch right now, and I can look up at that tree. Like that's my yard. And, that's a picture of the, and so after the Pulse nightclub shooting, I only saw it maybe once or twice, after that, within, you know, a couple of days after the event, and, never again. Bye.
Yeah. Sorry, you're breaking up there.
So these railroad tracks. I'm sorry.
You broke up just never, and then it was broke up.
Okay, yeah, I was saying how I just never saw the helicopter again after pretty much, and mentioned that it seemed to be flying the path of the railroad tracks. Well, I didn't even know until after the shooting. You know, the Pulse nightclub is nearby the Orlando airport, and I do deliveries to the airport. I deliver mail. I'm not a mailman, but I print mail and then I deliver it to the post office. So that's right next to the railroad tracks, as well. And I took a back way one day and realized that there's this military reserve base right there as also on the tracks, and only, I would say, less than a mile from the Pulse nightclub. So I can only theorize that, you know, this helicopter was moving either supplies or personnel into this military base, for preparation of an operation. I would guess that Pulse is a psychological operation, and I don't know. I think I witnessed something.
Yeah. It looks like moving in there. The logistics for their traveling troupe, you know, to put on the street theater and everything else, and then film at 11.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we know Omar Mateen's there, so it's not a stretch.
Definitely. Yeah. Does it seem? Sorry, Susu, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah.
Okay. Does it seem it was a logistical trip, like you say, just to literally scan the place, make sure they know the width of the roads, who's going to go and where, the height for the filming of the camera, you know, for the news agents. A flyby like that, remember, it is the military media. That single flyby could probably work out a lot of things for them there. So the fact that you've caught that is something that's quite telling.
Yeah.
Seems to be. Because otherwise, why would you fly that low? You're not going to risk crashing, especially doing maneuvers like that.
I can't really. And yeah, do they have some kind of technology where they scan in the area with?
But it seems flying low or doing anything like that makes it obviously it's a risk involved. So they're going to make a risk for some reason. And it probably could be achieved with, you know, Google cameras and things like that, but nobody needs to see from above. They need to see exit areas if anyone can get in with cameras to refilm things.
It seemed like a transit thing, you know, being that it was the same path every day and that it was rather low. I don't think that they were doing any kind of surveillance or something like that. It doesn't seem to make sense with the you know, what the path that they were taking, at least in my imagination of what they could possibly be doing up there.
Definitely. Or where they're headed. So you live near there?
Excuse me?
Do you live near there? Was this taken from your backyard? Literally. Remember,
That photo is literally, taken from my backyard, and I live about 15 miles from the Pulse nightclub, maybe less. But yeah, I could go step out. It's kind of dark right now, and take a picture of that same tree to show you, like, yeah, that's my backyard. And
okay. So that, you reckon they covered that far, that coming out just to see? Because I mean, I don't really experience America, and obviously there's a lot of people who have eyes like hawks, like what you have. So you pick up on a lot of things. We're not going to say we don't see a lot of things like that. say things like that. Did this stand out to you? Did this stick out with something
Absolutely, dude. Absolutely. The whole time I was freaking out. My wife, she's not into this kind of information. She, I think she hates that I am. It's an issue between us, you know, that I'm into conspiracies and stuff. So I would go running out of the house when I would hear it, or we'd be hanging out together and I'd jump up and run out with my phone, and it caused a problem. Cause she didn't understand why I'd be so interested in, you know, in a helicopter flying over. But, you know, I'd get up, I'd be like, look, the black helicopter again. So yeah, it was standing out to me major. And it's one of the, you know, I thought at least that day that the Pulse nightclub happened, that it had to be connected.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, we're having technical problems here with,
is it on my end?
Oh, it's all right. I can hear the two of you now. I think Denny was having problems there, Napoleon. I put your pick into the live stream chat for anyone, you know, who's be listening later on, and they'll see it there, you know?
Yeah, and I've actually got lots of them, different days. Like, they're probably time stamped and everything with, you know, but like I said, they're on a different phone. I pulled that up from an email I sent Chris last year.
Yeah. So it's, build up to Aurora and then just a little bit after it, and then the activity just stopped then.
What? Well, the Pulse. Yeah. The Pulse nightclub, not Aurora.
Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry,
but Pulse. Yeah, I only thought once. No, I am. But yeah, it was abrupt the way it just ended. It was like 2 or 3 weeks of every day. And I told you I run deliveries sometimes. I ran a delivery to this, I don't remember what they do, but, it was like a warehouse, and right when I pulled up, it was passing. So I was seeing it from maybe 5 miles away from where I would normally see it here at my house. And
yeah,
my adrenaline's going. I'm like, there it is again. And I mentioned to the guy who's signing my invoice, he steps out of the big roll up door at this warehouse. I'm like, do you see that helicopter? And he looked up, and I asked him if he recognized it. I'm like, do you see this every day? Like, have you been noticing this too? Cause this stands out to me. And he was like, yeah, you know, now that you mention it, I have been, seeing it go by the last few days or weeks. I was like, yeah, you know, and we kind of left it at that. And I mentioned to him, I'm like, you know, I'm kind of conspiratorial minded. So this scared me, I don't know, within a week or something, it's the shooting.
That's really strange, isn't it, man? You know, but at the same time, it's another little bit of, you know, confirmation of, you know, what, you know, we theorize.
Yeah, for me,
what's going on?
Like, I don't expect it to, you know, to be evidence for anybody else, you know, other than myself, because, you know, it's just my word. But I was gratified in the end from my position of looking at things as hoaxes or whatever, that I felt like I had some evidence that, you know, wasn't looking at the news and trying to analyze some first. You know, they did it so early in the morning.
Again, sorry, you've been breaking up there.
Yep. How about now?
I heard. How about now? Say something else.
Okay. Could you tell me what the last thing you heard me say was?
Just about, you were saying about up, literally, you know?
Okay. But I just want to pick up where you last heard me.
Yeah, it was just as we were talking about when you were saying that, the helicopter and how it ended abruptly and that. And then, you know, I was speculating, and you said it was proof for yourself, you know, not, it was your word, and that kind of thing. And, you know, well, that goes without saying, really, you know, and everything. So you're relating your story and, you know, you have your picture there as well. And you said you had other pictures as well, so that in your computer, but this was just one from an email.
Yeah, the other pictures, yeah, are on a different phone that I don't use anymore. But it does work, and it's in the car that the wife's using at work. But yeah, I could load them up sometime.
Well, you can. You can put them in anywhere, you know, in relation to this chat, the audio chat, you know.
Yeah, and I don't know if somebody's able to. I forgot what they call that data that's inserted in photos, you know, that my GPS coordinations and the date and the time.
The metadata.
Yeah, that's it.
Picture.
I guess if that stuff comes through, then yeah, that'd be cool. It could be a little bit more proof than, you know, just my word and what could be a photo I swiped off the internet, but it's definitely. You know, it's not, but
it's your, so you know, your experience. You're just telling us on the audio chat, you know.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, yeah. So, and you're kind enough to even show us a picture there as well of the from your back garden. Denny, goes by Napoleon. I don't know. He's dropped off as well. He's been having connection problems as well. Like you heard the way his sound was dropping in and out as well.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, man, tell us, how long have you been, you know, hanging around Discord, Fakeologist? Or how long have you been looking at Fakeologist, if you don't mind me asking?
I probably found Fakeologist a couple years ago through Hoax Busters. I tried maybe like a year ago to get on the, Talk. What was the program? Not Talk Shoe that you guys used, but I don't know. I tried to get on the program to get on the talks, and I couldn't figure it out. And so,
TeamSpeak.
That's it. Yeah. Once I heard that kind of people raving about how well this Discord worked, I was like, let me give this another try. I talked to Abba maybe a week or two ago for a little while.
Were you in the audio chat? Because I should have remembered that, but there's so many different audio chats popping up lately, you know, it's hard to keep up.
Yeah.
And with everything else that's going on, you know, so, I don't know, TeamSpeak, I never liked TeamSpeak and it never liked me either. So, you know, I could never sort of integrate it properly with my system here. I tell you, they've really improved this Discord.
Yeah, it's great.
You know, started up first, and you know, so now it's pretty good. It's, you know, you just log in, and you know, it's just a lot better, you know, than TeamSpeak ever was. Said that TeamSpeak, I was using it for the audio chats. It created so many different varied audio chats. It was amazing, like, you know. So in that sense, you know, it was good as a facility for, you know, talk.
Yeah.
So I had my own little problems with it, but, you know, that's by the by, really, you know. But,
yeah, I'm just glad. Yeah, I'm glad you guys switched. This is a lot better. Being able to do it, you know, all from my phone and app. Have the chat right there to, like, I just dropped that picture in. Yeah, it's a good service.
Yeah.
And a good forum, you know.
Yeah.
What we're doing right here.
The only thing for sound wise, when, you know, for broadcasting purposes, the Wi-Fi isn't the best way to go, you know. Better off to be hardwired, you know, literally
right.
Hooked into a modem, you know. But,
I'm sure that's why I was breaking up. I was on the back porch. You know, a few minutes ago, which is kind of, I guess, straying away from.
It's cool though, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
It's cool to be able to sit out in the evening, and you know, but that's the only backs. You know, the downside of it is the intermittent ping pong, ping pong, ping. You know, break up.
Yeah. Yeah, I just moved to the front though. It's been raining every day. We went through the driest drought they were saying for years. This is the worst drought we've had in years, just a few months ago, and now it's raining like I don't remember it ever raining. It's just kind of weird.
Welcome.
So it's raining right now. Yeah.
Yeah, the ground. Was it rain come down? Forgive this dirty town. Rain come down. Give this dirty town a drink of water. It's a Dire Straits song from the '80s, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, we've had some, pretty hot days over here, and it was nice, and then overcast, then and sort of in, but never quite coming. And then you get a few nights of where it was lashing,
Oh.
So. I don't know. I think it all balanced itself out in the end, you know?
Yeah. Sort of. I noticed something weird. I guess it was this spring, maybe like end of winter, early spring. I've got a lot of oak trees here in Florida. And the oak trees, of course, bear acorns. And there happened to be this abundance of acorns this year. I'm talking like 10 times the amount of normal acorn dropping. And I did some kind of Google search to try to figure it out, and they described it as a mast year. And couldn't believe they went so far as to say science doesn't even know what causes it, but that they think it's some kind of something triggers in the environment. So I thought it was funny, for one thing, science to actually say they don't know something. But I wonder, what's going on because it was everywhere, in the area. You're stepping on just way, way too many acorns. It was really odd. And like all the rest of my trees aren't filled out the way that they should be. Like the leaf canopy, I can see the sky, and normally it would be fully enveloped by now.
Yeah.
It seems like there's something weird going on with my trees.
And science can't, they're the go-to guys these days. They're like the religion, every man religion. Science has an answer for everything, but they didn't have an answer for that.
Well, science appeals to the logic side of it, supposedly. And yeah, a lot of the times it never actually gets there, does it?
Yeah, no.
Yes. You're back, man. You're having problems with your internet connection yourself.
Oh my God, it's the NSA again. I've swapped routers. We've changed. I've pulled the blinds down. I've actually put a pair of sunglasses on. Hopefully, we should be okay for the next 10, 15 minutes. But we'll see. I always feel like there's somebody watching me. I've got no privacy. No, was listening though, could hear everything was going on, brilliant nevertheless. I'm not gonna go down the fair porn avenue of things not growing the way they used to, because at the end of the day we can't really account it to that, but definitely things are not growing the way they used to without going down the fair porn avenue. So we've seen a change. Is it stuff they're spraying, is it stuff going in the soil? Is it us? It's not Mandela. Mandela's not doing it. So we've got partial pollution across everywhere. We've got partial chem spraying across the planet. Everything's stopping. There's not much light getting through. Why are they doing that? Just on a basic level, why are they doing that?
Well, you see, there's always, good reasons, and then the real reason, and then countless other fucking reasons, but it's just such an open question. I don't know. Honestly, don't know. I've seen them for how long?
No inclinations. Nothing jumps out of you.
Oh, there's. It's sort of like whatever you're having yourself, man. There's so many different ideas to it, and the usual. But like you came into it from the gardening aspect or the growing aspect of things, and with Mason's oak trees, and what I've noticed is some years are good, some years are not as good, but they're generally good. But couple of years have been even better. And like, I'm just looking at the bumper crop of raspberries. I allowed a section of the raspberries to just keep growing because the last few years they were getting really big fruit, and you know, so I just let them go basically. And I'm on like, I have 4 kilos of them in the fridge already, just from going out and picking them and just sort of like bunches of them. And like, you'd have some of them ripe, some of them, you know, still ripening at the moment. So if any detrimental, and see, this is another thing that's attached to the so-called chemtrails or aerial spraying or, you know, persistent, you know, contrails is another one that came out years ago, is that they're sort of, you know, trying to kill off, you know, things like the bees and whatever in conjunction with Wi-Fi signals and all that.
Well, the one thing I have noticed is that
finish this thing about the berries, the raspberries. You know, back when they were starting to, you know, flower, right? Just coming in the spring, early. That's when you see the bees, man. They're just everywhere, you know? And it's not like swarming, you know? You don't be afraid of them. You literally, they're just there.
Yeah. That's one thing that's most afraid of in nature, is
that? From my, you know, empirical view of things, right? And it's different from what I see on the internet or what I hear from people talking on the internet. Is like, I still see things growing, you know, everything is growing. Everything is alive. There's bugs, flies, everything. And, either in spite or despite of what I see every day and when I look up in the sky, you know,
that was exactly my observation I was going to say was, the observation of plants and things not going right are never in areas where it's abundant with greenery anyway, like where you are in Ireland. It's always in areas where, you know, it's on the edge of something that's verdant or the edge of a tropical paradise or something, and that's where you see the change. I mean, that is only from people talking about it as well. That's not actually from people saying, this is what I see here. It's from people
Right, I can say that then, and then I can go out and look at my car after like cleaning it, washing it, and the next day, a couple of days ago, after lots of fucking noticeable spraying, and they're doing it in the nighttime as well. Like, you know, I know Jerry Can posted a picture there the other night in the Discord of the one sort of going by the moon, and I have them as well. I've seen them, you know, down through the years looking at these chemtrails, that it wasn't just a phenomenon that was happening in the daytime, it was going on in the nighttime. In fact, you know, morning, noon and night, you know, I kind of gone off my train of thought there where the point I was coming. My car, right? And there's this like a layer of fecking like white sort of dusty particles. The same out the back garden on the table in the garden, you know? It's dust, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, and it's not sand from the Sahara, you know? But, you know, who knows what it is? Because
yeah.
I know there's people that say, oh, there's barium. And I know all of that kind of stuff because I looked into chemtrails since like 2000 and, you know, 8 or 9. I've kind of come right back around to honestly say that I don't know what the feck it is, but I see it going on. I've seen and looked into all the different concepts and ideas. Clifford Carnicum was the one at the very beginning that I remember. And his HEPA filters and all that, and heavily promoted by Rents et al., you know, Alex Jones. They all promoted the chemtrails in the fear-mongering. They're killing you, you know, with all the different aluminium and shit, right? And all I'm saying is, you know, that's not what I think is going on either, you know what I mean?
My experiences could all just be related to that drought you know, that I was telling you we experienced, you know, maybe that's why all this happened. I imagine all the acorns probably dropped from something telling the tree, like, you know, you got to try to survive here. You got to reproduce. We do get heavy, especially a few months ago. It was really heavy chemtrail spraying, but like you, I don't know what it actually is. If it's hurting anyone, if it's designed to hurt anyone, or what it's, I just got echo, but, yeah, I've never seen the dust. I've thought about, you know, where's the particles coming back down, because I've never actually seen.
Well, that's what I'm
residue.
Saying.
So that's interesting, yeah. That you've seen residue, that you assume could be related to the trails.
Yeah. Sorry, James is here. How's it going, man? Uninstall. Sorry, man.
Hey, gents. How are you doing? Nice to meet you, Mason. I like the Four Horses Asses blog. That's good stuff.
Oh, great, man. Thanks.
I mean, really, like, no.
Never really heard that, or, you know, got to hear that from someone. So that's cool. Thank you.
Well, from what I can tell, nobody's really talking about that angle of these things, except for kind of Gnostic media peripherally. But then you guys are going into the, like, punk rock aspect of all of it, and just alt rock and weird stuff. It's great. But I don't want to divert the conversation. I did have a couple a point about chemtrails, I guess. It's like, yeah, we're left, like you said, you know, Del, we're left with the fear-mongering from the Alex Jones types.
Yeah.
Because if it is a real program and they are spraying stuff, it's super secret and nobody is blowing the whistle on it, as far as I know. So we're just left to guess and, you know, be scared in our paranoid delusions. But at the same time, you can find books that were published in the late 50s by official, you know, NOAA, National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration type people, saying that weather modification is a definite goal for the future, and it's to be accomplished by aerial spraying.
Yes, I know, and, you know, own in the weather by 2025 as well. That was an Air Force beast years ago.
You know? Yeah, there's that one, and I found one book in a used bookstore, and I honestly don't even know if I bought it or not, but I was just looking at it and it was like, yeah, this official government research guy, just a little paperback, basically laying out how this aerial spraying can be used for weather modification. And that's definitely something that's being pursued way back in the middle part of the 20th century. And so it's like is that a cover? You know, is that a cover for something else? Probably. If you have a sufficiently conspiratorial outlook, then of course it is. You know?
There are, that's what I was saying. There's so many. It's like a buffet for every conspiracy read of chemtrails, but yet they're still there. You know what I mean? They're still, you know, they're an observable thing. You know? And unless there's pixies going around and sprinkling white shit on the car and on the, you know, people's cars around here and all that, you know. It's just strange, man, you know.
Yeah, over there in Ireland, you got all those fairies and stuff, right?
That's right, the leprechauns. Listen, man, by the way, Mason, yeah, I do recall now, you've had that, the blog with the punk rock stuff, man.
Yeah.
I know. Yes, you're right.
Yeah, I go by Masonic Youth on those blog posts. Yeah, me, Nino, John Adams, and Rich.
I remember now. I remember the talk you were talking about there, the chat. And I remember having a look as well at the stuff. But I want to say I just have to nip for a minute. I'll be back in a while. So yourself and James there chat away, and Denny is there as well, Napoleon.
So, hey, James.
Hey, Denny.
Sir. All right. Well, have a good night, man.
Yeah, no, I'll be back. BRB Jacks kind of thing.
All right.
All right. Well, if I'm not, then that stands. If so, then
Mason, can you throw your link in the chat for anyone who's not familiar with your work? Because I'm not familiar with it, even though I know about it.
Okay, yeah, I'll put a link to a post.
Oh, cool, man. Cool. Do you do it on a podcast as well?
No, I've been on Chris's calls a couple times, but
that's originally where I've heard you.
Okay, yeah. But yeah, no, I haven't done my own kind of podcast.
Cool, man. Amazing. Really is. Well, just the time I spent looking into it and what these people represent over here, over there where you are.
What's that?
Sorry, one sec. Just saying, a lot of these bloodlines, the people, the hucksters, it's good to see that these people finding out what they represent over there, where the bloodlines carried on, and well, where these people, you know, basically where it's carried on to. I mean, over here, they were duchesses and dukes and, you know, and leaders of armies and things like that, but over there, they seem to be directors and producers and, you know, all this different type of people, which actually would make sense for the 100-year movie we've seen.
Yeah, I'm trying to send you a link in here for a post I did the other day about this the singer, this black metal band, this transcendental black metal band, where their logo is basically, you know, two triangles like intersecting, like a square and compass, and his family, the Hunts are connected to JFK assassination and Iran-Contra, and they were oil tycoons, friendly with the Bush family. They lived in Texas, and they were the richest, one of the richest families in America. And yeah, now this guy's doing occult music stuff, and I'm trying to put the link in the chat, and for whatever reason, it's not pasting in. I don't know. I copied it and I'm trying to paste it, but it's not working.
Cool. I'm unsure. I know Del Quartz. But have you tried it in the live stream chat? Anyway, E-boy, don't worry. We'll get to it. I'm sure James can throw this up. But nevertheless, what you're doing there is pointing out the big players, the big actors who are on this. Because that's what they are. You know, every one of these people have been guided by a hidden hand. I hasten to say it.
Yeah, that seems that way. It seems like almost every rock I kick over, there's something of note, you know, some kind of red flag, and pretty prevalent.
How far does it go back? We trace it back to the founders, and not of America, obviously, but the founders of the arts and the people like that, or the people that run the show, basically. But that can only go back 100 years. Did it change? Did it change at the end of the wars? Did they literally decide to take a different path and go down the entertainment avenues?
Well, one of the most recent things I looked into was this family, the Altschul family. So, like you said, 100 years ago, precisely 1917, Charles Altschul was doing government sponsored propaganda for the Creel Committee, which was a U.S. sponsored propaganda agency, also known as the Committee for Public Information. But Charles Altschul is also noteworthy for being a banker. He was the eighth senior partner at Lazard Frères, investment firm. He wrote multiple pamphlets for this Creel Committee, trying to change the propaganda of school textbooks to be more pro-British to get ready for World War I. So then his son, Frank Altschul, also a banker, marries into the Lehman family, you know, major banking Lehman Brothers. And he was a major propagandist. He worked for Radio Free Europe. He was a part of the commission on the present danger, just major CIA connections, CFR. He helped found the CFR in 1920. So then his son, marries someone who was an MK Ultra researcher. I found where her name's Siri von Rees-Alschel. She, you know, of course, her husband, Arthur Alschel Sr. was also a banker. So he's dealing with the big finance, and she's researching the drug Vilca, and did a presentation at the Anthropharmacological Search for Psychoactive Drugs, which was a symposium held by the National Institute of Mental Health. And along with her at that symposium were Harris Isbell, an MKUltra doctor who was doing experiments on prisoners, and Carl C. Pfeiffer, another MKUltra doctor. And Frank Alschel was working with R. Gordon Wasson, who was MKUltra subproject 58. So then her daughter, Siri von Rees-Alschel, goes on to be the MTV News correspondent from back when I was a kid. I used to watch MTV News like most other kids, and every 50 minutes, Serena Alschel would come on to deliver me my MTV News propaganda. And she went on to, she's now at CNN and worked at ABC. So then her sister married John Miller. John Miller interviewed Osama bin Laden in 1998. And then, so he was a journalist, and then he went on to work for the NYPD in counterterrorism, and then like back on NBC News, and then he went to the FBI, and then back to the news, and then worked at the Office of Strategic Defense. I think that's what it's called. This family is heavy in banking, and they're controlling the media. It seems like that's what you were asking about. And
yeah, complete fucking spooksville. SMJ has joined the call as well. Welcome, man. We'll be talking to a muted microphone.
Sorry, mate. No, what I thought then when Mason was going through that was you could see how they were flitting backwards and forwards. You can fly backwards and forwards. It seems to me there that the people, it's not so much the people, it's the information. It's the hustle. That's the secret. You know, keep the hustle going. As soon as we mention that word, you got Sean in chat there. Hi, Sean. I'm going to say good evening. I know you're going to sleep. Don't worry. Just saying hello.
He's here in the chat, man. He's here, but muted.
And I would never impose on a fellow who definitely needs a good night's kip after working all day. You shouldn't be talking to idiots like us working all day.
Well, he came into the live stream. Welcome. Yes. Welcome, Sean. Can hear you, man.
Hey, mate.
Yeah. I don't have much to say.
Well, you
always start off with that.
Keep on saying it, so, man. Come on.
I tell you what, though, this alchemical hustle, it will take shape, man. Once people work out, they're going to be onto it. It's not going to take long.
All right, you know Ernest Rutherford, right? He's the first guy who officially transmuted elements. He's the first true alchemist, according to science. You guys over there have, like, what are they called? The
is crest or whatever.
Yeah. When you get knighted or whatever, you get to pick your, whatever you want to put on your shield or whatever, your family, whatever the fuck it is.
Crest.
And on the Dexter side, Rutherford put Hermes Trismegistus on it. That's what's on his, you can look up Ernest Rutherford's crest. When he got knighted, he picked that on the Dexter side.
It's called your coat of arms.
Coat of arms.
Yeah.
Hermes Trismegistus is, you know, the alchemical guy, as above, so below. You know, why people think we can stand on the goddamn lights in the sky? Because they're obviously rocks.
Yeah.
We're on a rock. Around fucking rocks, spinning around fucking space.
Yeah, Sean, I've got one for you. Google how much a blue whale, and you'll get a weight for it. Do you think anyone's ever weighed a fucking blue whale?
Not a rock one.
No.
Well, I can say that I remember seeing one mounted to the ceiling of, I think it was the Natural History Museum in New York. I was only about 8 or 9 at the time, so it was back, you know, in the '70s. But, I always remembered, fucking hell, how did they hang that out of the ceiling without it fucking collapsing? That was just the talk going through my head at the time as a young fella, young lad.
Could you see the curve?
And, you know, it could have been just some sort of a fiberglass thing, you know, like, you know, you're not going to, right, taxidermy, okay. I don't know what way a whale's skin could be taxidermy that it looks like a blue whale out of water, if you know what I mean.
I think you'd need the Denver, Colorado airport fucking team to taxidermy a whale.
I don't know, but anyway.
No, what Sean was saying earlier, they don't even hide it. Right, Sean, there's people walking around now on this planet thinking that a fucking apple hit Newton on the head.
Yeah, and that's why the moon and everything's flying around in space instead of being up in the goddamn sky. You can plainly see they're in the fucking sky. But in our heads, they're in space. And they're listening to Newton's inverse square law. That has nothing to do with the fucking shit we call gravity down here. Local gravitation, little g.
Well, is that what's to blame? That fucking inverse square law? Someone come up with that? Well, basically, that ends up being a mathematical. You come up with that yourself, don't you? Everyone comes. That's like your signature. The math.
Well,
you
come up with your own energy. All energy that radiates from a point, you know, it spreads out like a spear. That doesn't mean the fucking lights we see in the sky are behaving to that law. He just assumed that shit because they're moving. The fucking, well, it didn't work that good. They had to make ellipses and, you know, it's not the center point of whatever. It's the center point of the collective mass of the fucking, you know, it's just fucking bullshit. But, but Newton has nothing to do with this shit now. Now it's just space-time, curved space-time. We can't see the fucking curve on the Earth. Now they want us to see the curve in gravity, in space-time. It's not Newton no more. Newton's inverse square law don't count no more. It's fucking Einstein's curved space-time.
Look, man, what they did was they took a true thing and covered it over, right? Here's one for you, and it's kind of a trick question, you know? Newton got hit on the head with a bloody apple, and I hope that wasn't the same apple that the other guy was firing a fucking arrow at.
He killed his son.
But they're telling us about the horizontal there. They control the vertical and the horizontal, or they like to think they do. Well, they probably do, and that's why we're here talking about it. But
you know what? No, twat's never examined. I bet if you take the fucking Darwin's fucking racist fucking monkey book shit, you open that up, I bet it's the same fucking width as the obelisk. Fucking 2001. Dirty twats. This is bollocks, man. We've been watching a movie for fucking 100 years, man. And there's people who were not even fucking, who were still on board with the movie. Fucking movie, man.
But anyway, the whole point of it is, right, why does an apple fall from the tree?
Because it's ripe.
Exactly. And that's the only fucking real answer.
Buoyancy?
Everything else you attach to it, it's gravity or it's buoyancy, or it doesn't matter. The apple falls from the tree because it's ripe. It's like it flowers and then the fruit appears. It's, you know, fucking.
It ain't falling because of no inverse square law. It ain't falling because of fucking space time.
Because the seed needs to get back into the ground. That's one reason it falls.
It's falling because the air can't support it. Once it lets go of the branch, fucking it's too heavy for the air. I mean, shit. Any 3-year-old can see that.
Mason, you're turning into the Titanic.
What do you mean?
There's like a big...
Sean, I've got one for you. Alchemical as fuck, so you'll like this. Right, Back to the Future, and obviously you've seen it. Well, I hope you have. You need to just nod now or do something. Let me know you've seen it. Oh, that'll do. Right, okay. So, you've got 1985, right, to 2001. So 16 years to 2001. And then you get that fucking bollocks that we're seeing on screen. Now that thing that we're seeing on screen, I think was to reverse everybody's psyche and make us all literally revert back to going back over history. Literally living back where we're going. So turning around, bang on 2001. The reason I think that's achievable, and this is the alchemical thing I'm asking you now, because if you match up what happened between the years of 2001, so 1985 and 2001, and 2001, 1987, what we're getting is we're getting round about 2005, sorry, round about 1985 and round about 2017, Russians. And then when you work it back, you get terrorism. They cross over at a certain point. Right? Now, I know that sounds weird, but the film Back to the Future, everything in that points to 9-1-1 and it being something that's going to happen. Now, you know, everybody else knows it was a fucking movie, right? They're making shit land on fucking lights in the sky and telling people it's real. If this is a movie, like what we say, and it probably did finish now because they don't even care now about fooling you. So let's just say that ended in 2001. That was the last trick, right? What's happening now? That now we're reverting backwards. We're having these laws, not laws, these supposed truths that you've been pointing out for a number of years now. These are becoming apparent. People aren't recognizing these things. Are we getting dumber? Or is media, is it taking its toll? Has it done its job? I know you're pessimistic, man. I really do. And I also know you probably thought this out.
They tell us the story. So this is an example where they just showed us the fucking story and they use time travel, right? If you control history, you control time, you know, they can get rid of 1,000 years of history there or whatever. They don't have to get rid of shit. History is whatever the fuck we've been told it is. So yeah.
Is that why they use films and time travel? Is it as simple as that? Just to
it's
say.
It's kind of like a metaphor, you know, it's fucking history. It's, yeah, they travel through time. They control it. They, in the Fabian sense, you know, great work. If they're contributing to the great work of fucking control the story, yeah, you control time. They can take cars away and airplanes away and we'd forget about them in a generation. I don't know where the fuck my people came from or, you know, I only go back 3. I have no clue after that.
I can go back 5, maybe 3 myself. I mean, and I know there's not much English in up until where I was born. That just shows you the amount of traveling that people did there. You can understand why they did it. Control. What control people? They're gonna tell you you're a slave. They're gonna tell the Irish you're a slave. They're gonna tell. Personally, I would not pick which boat to travel on. One full of a load of Irish slaves or one full of a load of African slaves. I would not like to pilot any of them boats. I'd be honest with you, and I don't think many people in them days would. So they must have another option, you know. Whether it was, you know, voluntary stuff. I don't know. But, yeah, what we're being told is it doesn't even make sense. Same with the prisoner of war camps. Got 30,000 people, and they're not going to run to a fence and get rid of 300 guards. It's going to be done overnight, especially the guessing people.
Yeah, I don't even believe in this slave shit, so.
No, that's God's not. So, trouble is, people that do believe in that fucking victim.
I think there are brown people around all warm bodies of water next to all the, you know, I don't think they carried black people over to fucking South Carolina. Goddamn station. Black people were fucking here already.
Most black people I've met, I remember I'm in England there, most black people I've met are from Portugal. You know, the bottom half of Spain, South Africa. Makes sense?
Yeah. It's fucking stories. I have no idea. I just know I can't go to one of these Institute of the Muses. That's what a museum is. That's what it fucking means. Institute of the Muses. I can't go to one of them and they haven't bothered to fucking make a slave ship. They have time to make a fucking aluminum foil fucking midget fucking craft. They say they went to the moon on. You know, they have time to make other bullshit, but you don't see no slave ships.
Do you remember us saying about a magician's trick? And like you got a magician's trick at 45 for one set.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Yeah, the magician's trick with the, you know, the smoke and mirrors, and it's done the same with DNA there. Literally the same, we bounce stuff off this. And it just coincides with the computer power, it was pointed out now. So we know computer power is pretty much behind all of that. And yet, people are, you know, still falling for it. It's weird, man. It's weird. Maybe people like, you know, people like having their information down. Maybe that's all it is, the information age. We've gone from the age of wonder to the age of being, I want to be on the screen.
I don't know. I have a hard time believing that kids today can grow up and look at that moon footage and believe that shit's real.
I don't think
that shit is so fucking ridiculous. I mean, they could do better. They could do an after-school project and do better than that shit.
Well, maybe it's as simple as the way they convince people that the slaves, the you know, the depression in the 20s. Or, see, maybe it's as simple as that. After a while, you just believe it. Because that's the only, you know, there's no other images of landing on the moon, is there? The only ones, the same ones. So you keep saying, I really hope not. That was fucking horrible what I said there.
Just try to comprehend how fucking silly that is. Landing on the fucking moon. That's my whole point of, what the fuck can you land on? I know their spaceship was made out of aluminum foil and whatnot, but they did have a fucking doom buggy on that motherfucker. How you ride a doom buggy on something in the fucking sky? Just think about it. Insane. You got to make an assumption that, oh, I'm standing on something just like, you know, what's up there in the sky, as above, so below. Alchemical bullshit.
And when they landed on it, it was grey. So it's grey. It's dull. It's not fucking dull. I can see the cunt from 230,000 miles away.
Yeah. But it's a grey rock when you fucking get up close to it. And you can ride a goddamn doom buggy around it. But it's in the fucking sky.
I just had a look at it there a minute ago, and it's pretty, it's like a light bulb.
It's a beautiful thing. And I would hate if the man actually did land on it, because knowing how lucky he'd land on the fucking off button.
At the moment, it'd be a rocket taken out of a poor lump of cheese.
That's the stupid thing, though. People still believe in it. Now, I think if you know anything about it, you sort of questioned all this shite by the time you're about 10. Unless, you know, you're part of the narrative. So now you get to the age where you're looking at tele. You got the space programs. I'm not against any space programs or anything to do with that. It's fantasy. But well behind that. But, really pushed down our throats. Really pushed down our throats with animations, little things that will push down kids' throats, what they call models, you know, the Thunderbirds, God, right before that. Then we got, Twilight Zone. It's been played out literally for the American people and for everyone else on the planet to see. And they've got right behind it. And I'm not going to say it's your fault, no chance, because we did the same thing with medicine and fucking gravity and all this shit to do with the Royal Society and all these theories that are still unproven. So, you know, all we've done is ours was the first edition, Sean. Yours was the second edition, space.
Yeah, well, Kubrick liked to shoot his shit over there in London. Well, Surrey, like, at Shepperton Studios. And what's the other one? You guys got another studio over there.
Oh, got Pinewood.
Yeah, Pinewood. You know, well, they're both the same. They're owned by the same people now.
Yeah. God, yeah. But, that's where they made you believe a man could fly. Superman. And he used his optics camera, which I think was used on the, might have been on the moon landings as well. But obviously, things kept quiet for about 11 or 12 years afterwards. So you know that same Barry Lyndon thing that was involved with Cubitt's camera.
The Canadian guy who, official story is, he's the guy who tapped Donovan for the OSS. I forget his name. They called him Intrepid. Fleming worked with him, and the dude who wrote Charlie in the Chocolate Factory, that fucking guy, Raul, fucking whatever.
Yeah, he worked with Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Yeah. Well, this dude this dude who started, he basically started OSS CIA Intrepid, codename Intrepid, fucking the real 007, whatever. Fucking inspiration. He built Shepperton.
Martin Bowman, wasn't it?
He built the fucking, he built Shepperton Studios. The second, you know, outside of Hollywood, it's the biggest studio, movie studios in the world. The dude, that's, and then Joe Kennedy fucking starts fucking RKO.
RKO, yeah.
I mean, are you fucking kidding me?
Are we seeing a pattern? We've seen a pattern. Do you reckon? Fucking
and ass. The dude is, and the first dude that runs NASA's fucking, was a goddamn movie studio executive at Paramount. T. Keith Glennon. Really? All the nuke footage comes from a fucking goddamn Hollywood studio. Goddamn Zabruder film comes from the fucking studio in Texas. Are you fucking kidding me?
Alright, so we've established a little bit that, the 20th century was the age of film. Everything was put on film. Made up.
Because it's more effective than books and shit and education. I mean, they heard us all together. We got to go to school now.
Well, so everyone's looking at the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And there ain't nothing to talk about except the shit you've seen on TV, whether it's sports, whatever, or fucking TV show or some fucking.
Well, I don't know about you, but my family talk about SMJ on FakeOlogistRadio.com. I'm only joking. No, Sean, I'm right behind you, man. I'm really right behind you. It's weird because do you know what's a good thing? You can actually turn around to someone and get them to look at something. If you say, well, what are the odds on three of Kennedy's kids being killed on film? And they go, oh, if someone with a little bit of something about them will look into that, and you might go, well, there you go. I've listened to it. So have a look at Joe Kennedy, you know, doing all the war footage. You know, I mean, that.
Yeah. He owned Pathé too.
Yes.
Time. All the newsroom shit ran through him.
Do you know we have people?
Joe Kennedy Jr. supposedly got shot down during, was it World War One? Yeah, probably World War One. You know, no, the same, right when, and right when, his sister and Jack's big sister, Kick, whatever the fuck her name was, she married into the Cavendish clan. You know, the Cavendish, Henry Cavendish, dude, the way to earth, the goddamn pair of balls.
Genius.
And, you know, Cavendish Lab, Cambridge, gave his DNA and all, a bunch of other bullshit where Rutherford worked.
I think first fucking outfit. Cambridge for a bit as well.
Yeah. Cambridge. Yeah. One dude tells us fucking electrons are fucking, particles, and then his son tells us electrons are fucking waves and they both get a Nobel Prize for it. That's some Cambridge shit. The Thompsons, they're fucking with us. It's a stupid ass story. Yep. But yeah, she married and then she died in a plane crash after her husband died in a fucking plane crash at the war. I mean, it's fucking stupid as fuck. But yeah, Jack Kane's big sister married in fucking Cavendish and died in a plane crash.
This is it. They expect you to believe it, right? And people believe this. No one looks into who was
so proper. It's so proper. It's a dance macabre. Well, that gives people something to believe in. Because we don't have to make our food. We don't have to build our houses. We don't have to do nothing. We just have to go to work and do fucking pointless dumb shit. We don't have to do anything important, like feed ourselves or fucking make our own shelter. None of that. We just have to do mindless fucking drivel, and then we get to fucking entertain ourselves with some more mindless drivel shit.
Yeah, pretty much it. Yeah, I'm behind that. Right, so, yeah, then. I told you, I'm fucking weirdo about fucking Antarctica with it being brain-shaped. Now, considering I knock around on fucking YouTube and say fucking weird shit, I've said that, and I've repeated it, and no one's ever said it. Now, I've got a thought experiment for you. It only takes 10 seconds. And all it is, you know you can't take stuff down to Antarctica. You're not allowed to. You know the old pollution, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's fine. That's great. You can stick it up your ass. I don't believe that for a minute. I think the reason you can't take anything down to Antarctica is because you might bury it and then come away and then go to the North Pole and find it. Or go to, you know, an island near the North Pole. What do you think about that? You know what I mean? It's not a case of taking stuff down there that you're in the pollute thing. It's like, you're not really going down there. So the reason you can't take anything is because you might bury it and find it somewhere else in the troubles. You know,
I think it's probably way too fucking cold before you ever see anything interesting, you know. So.
Yeah, I think it pretty much gets to a point at the bottom of South America. You see what happens, and same in the North Pole. Can't do much more. But what they're doing is they're saying, oh no, there's this big expanse of land which adds to fucking gravity and a ball, which you don't get. So you know, you've not got gravity, you don't have a ball, you've not got a ball, you've not got a South Pole, you've not got a North Pole. So you know, there is some fucking fuckery going on.
Yeah. I don't believe in gravity, so I got a hard time believing the fucking ball.
Yeah.
There ain't no gravity. I don't know what the fuck John LeBron is standing on. I mean, shit, he's upside down.
John LeBron's got a gravity hat. His hat's keeping him stuck. No, it's not a ball. He's all right. John LeBron's local, probably. I don't know. I always think John LeBron might just be an engineering student having time off or something. I hope he is. I hope he's not an agent because I enjoy these chats about stuff. And he was the one who actually got me on gravity in the first place, which was quite good. But, yeah, the weird thing is once you look into these things, it's a fucking ton of worms, Sean. Fucking ton of worms. And if you know what to look for, like you, years ago, what was it, the father of, you know, new chatting to Ab?
Yeah. If you want to know about DNA or you want to know about anything, just look up who came up with this shit. Black holes, guarantee you, everything leads to, lead to people like George Gamow, shit like Joe Gamow, and, you know, like Rutherford, or he was the dude at Berkeley, the greatest outcome guy. Damn.
Rutherfordian, named after him. Yeah. Don't you let us keep you up, man. Then they don't really love it. Nice that you got to have a chat.
Yeah, I'm gonna mute and I'm gonna listen. But I gotta mute now. It's good chatting. I gotta lay it out.
Yeah, take care, Sean. All right. Thanks.
All right. I'm going to meet and scout Jim, so you can play.
Mason, are you there?
Hey, yeah, what's up, man?
Any thoughts on cosmology, or are you firmly in one camp or the other? You know, we have this whole flat versus sphere thing going on. And I live in a multidimensional reality. I think things are greater than possibly we can conceive, because of course we've been lied to so much that we almost don't even know the extent of our ignorance. And so, you know, it's an interesting thing, but I just thought I'd throw that out there, see what you have to say.
Yeah, you know, I say I know what kind of world we live in, as far as the shape or what the force is that makes me come down.
Right.
It's not a big interest for me either. Like I haven't done a whole lot of research into the science behind gravity or buoyancy, but just my own thoughts, it seems more logical that it's the a system similar to what Sean was describing there as far as buoyancy, and the world flat and round, I kind of feel like it doesn't really impact me, in any kind of way.
That's and, just it, yeah.
Yeah, I just feel like there's things that are more pressing or that I could get more benefit out of learning. So I try not to waste what I consider it to be a waste of time. I try not to waste my time with it.
Yeah, I respect that. I kind of agree with you, really, because what we've seen with this whole quote-unquote debate about the shape of the Earth is that it's just become a vortex of circular arguments between different camps. And it's
divisive.
It is very divisive. And like you said, you know, even if it is a sphere, you don't account for it when you build a bridge or you build a railroad. You just don't, because if it's a big sphere, as they say, it's big enough that you just don't have to account for curvature when you do these things. And yeah. And if it's flat, then, you know, whatever. Some people are thoroughly convinced that there's a dome and that we're the most special creatures in the universe and we're God's little ant farm. And you know what? Nobody's going to convince them otherwise. So why freaking bother? That's kind of where I come from.
Yeah, it seems like a pleasant thought to have, you know, like, good for you. You think, you know, we're the center of the world. I'm sure that's beneficial to you, like the same way I guess being religious could be, or, you know, it's probably connected to religion a lot of times with those people, it seems. But I'm not in a position where I want to dissuade anyone from how they feel about it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's so many different things we can get into, and it's like, you know, if you spend all your time on YouTube convincing yourself of your favorite conspiracy, you're not having a relationship with nature and with the earth. And that's really what I just wish people would do more, is actually just have a relationship with whatever it is that we're on and we're in. Because it can teach us so much. Just by, you know, observing and being out in it. And, you can look at a screen all day and, yeah, you'll probably think the earth is flat because of various propaganda techniques and whatnot. And, you know, if it is, great. We're all still here. We're all still dealing with the same shit.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't seem to lead anywhere. And like you said,
that's the question. No, I'm playing. I'm mucking about with you. No, please bear in mind, anyone listening to this, I'm a beyond a conspiracy theorist. I'm a crazy head. I literally don't believe conspiracy theorists. I go next to that level. But the weird thing is I do like my little thought experiment there. Do with how they could hide something by not letting you take things to there. Now, we all know that when they show space, you know, images or Mars images, that a lot of people have been saying there from, you know, local islands close to Canada, Devon Island, and certain places there like that. So we understand that they can trick people, and we've also seen the pretend Iraqi bases. Are they in Mexico? I'm sure. I know they're in the United States, where they do the training. So we know they can do things like that. So why wouldn't they pretend to do it on people who were visiting Antarctica? Because there's been programs where they've done it with students pretending they're going to go to space. You know, they've actually, you know, pulled the wool over people's eyes more times than, you know, I mentioned. So why not in Antarctica? Do you think they're showing us what's down there, seeing as every other recollection of their or telling of the story of Antarctica has been a tropical land where it's not been frozen, you know, tundra, it's been cold, and then there's been something extra added to it. Now, I don't know if that's just artistic license or whatever it may be, but there's always something added to it now.
I don't know, man. I don't have a personal first-hand knowledge of Antarctica, so I'm in no position to comment. And I just wish people would be a little more honest about that type of thing.
No, but that's all I'm saying. I find it hard for all different countries to get on board of a place, or all different what's the word? All different regimes to get on board behind a place, and then it being left, you know, sole responsibility to the United States, and basically becoming this crazy fortress that it is, with all different science going there. You know, a lot of science can be debunked, or not debunked, can be questioned.
Well, they're going somewhere. I mean, there's people who get jobs ostensibly to go to Antarctica, and they go somewhere. I don't know where they go, but they go somewhere, and you can find these people and talk to them, and they'll tell you, yes, I've been to Antarctica, and I was a plumber, or a fucking warehouse worker, or whatever. But, you know, it's...
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I'm saying. How do we know? And I mean, in the best respect, you can't. In one respect, they say they're keeping it totally clean of any pollution for future prosperity. And in the second hand, we know that the oil companies fund Greenpeace. So we know that eventually they will go to the places that have been, you know, sanctioned off to, you know, to protect. So we know eventually when the, even though people still believe oil comes from fucking dinosaurs, they're going to want oil, they're still ending up hitting these countries or whatever places that they're oil. So we know there is a lie going on. What I mean is there is, why believe that lie? Why believe that lie now? Literally, why believe they're being sold, they're being taken to Antarctica? And it'd be quite easy to set them somewhere else, providing they take any, you know, personal belongings. It's a lot easier.
Yeah, it could just be, you know, some large island off the tip of South America. It could be the edge of the ice wall because, you know, I saw an ice wall on Game of Thrones. So I think the Illuminati is telling us that there's definitely an ice wall. And
I think you're probably right with your first guess, a little island. Probably not much, not much bigger than Madagascar.
Let me ask you, why should we be wondering what's going on in Antarctica? What do you?
The literature behind it, the stuff that the maps behind it, the facts, the shape of it, the different names of it.
But what drives you to what's wrong with the maps? Because I get where I want to go.
It was the moon. I went looking for the moon from Antarctica. And I found out the moon was being faked from Antarctica. Yeah, no, sounds a bit deep, man, doesn't it? Well, no, basically, there were lots of discrepancies in the videos I was watching, obviously, that could have been down to someone, you know, making the mistakes. And then when you look into certain, certain records, they're not there. But they say people went there to record things, but they never recorded them. So I don't know. Look, I looked into it for about 6 months and then I disregarded it thinking, I think most of the records from Antarctica are false. Then I looked into finding out who went down there, most of them are Masons. So I disregarded a lot of that and then you hit one bird. You know, so I think it's made up at the moment. Anything we say on Telegraph is being the ice-shaped, brain freeze thing that you get. Or whether it's the fact that you land at Deception Point, I don't believe that any of that would be told there. But like I said, that's just me. I'm on a different path.
Okay.
I mean, how do you feel about the Admiral Byrd talking about, you know, the inner Earth and talking about a vast expanse on the South Pole?
I haven't read enough Admiral Byrd to really comment on that.
Not myself. Only a couple of things. I didn't believe him first time around when I thought the Earth was a globe, so I don't really believe him now. You know, I've got 6 pounds beyond it. I'm not falling into that. I'm just disregarding a lot of what we've been told.
So do you don't believe that the circumnavigation of Antarctica, the acronautic race, sailboat race is real?
I have looked into that. I'm not aware that there's any real footage of it unless, you know, it's a satellite. I've not seen any real footage of it live. I've only seen, you know, snippets. So I'm unaware. I think the last two, some of them might turn around due to bad weather or something for a bit. So,
one lady recently who her mast broke when shortly, you know, somewhere off of South Africa, so she couldn't do it. But there is supposedly some race that goes around. And, you know, I guess, you know, to be able to really comment on it, you would want to see like a nonstop live stream from a boat doing the entire race for the complete, however long it takes.
Oh, no, James, we may be simple. I just want to see someone fly up higher than, I don't know, 25,000, 30,000 miles with a camera aiming down the Earth. That'll do. You know, I'll work out the angle.
I mean, if you're honest about any of this, like, that's pretty much what it takes. We need to be launched up in a rocket, if that's even possible, and see it for our damn, selves. So, like, that's this whole, we're just, people just wasting tons of time talking about this stuff. Anyway.
What do you think about being able to see stuff at a low level?
I'm not saying Sean is wasting time at all. I think he brings valuable stuff to the table. He's done a lot more research than I have, but I'm more referring to the, you know, people who are just trying to cash in on this latest conspiracy theme of the shape of the earth.
Yeah, but you don't want to know my theory anyway. My theory is out there and stuff. I might have hit you with it a little bit here and there. It's still up in the air. It really is. No, there's not much point. I'm sure you've got something to say there about, just the way that we do treat, evidence that we get and we disregard it. Oh, you can be shown one thing and another. Like, say, you know, we can have a balloon going up and it seems level, but that's only going up like 4 to 5 miles. So when you see something going that far up and it's dark, you go, oh my God, it's in space, and it looks level. So you do need to be discerning.
I'm not sure if I entirely understood what you just said.
That's okay, sir. It would take something like a balloon or a rocket going up significantly higher. It's approved more than any of these balloon launches.
Yeah. No dog cam, no fisheye lens, just with your bare naked eye, see it for yourself. And how many of us are going to do that?
I wouldn't even venture it. I couldn't imagine being any farther away from the planet. And I actually jumped out of a plane at 4,000 feet, and even that felt alien to me. So I can't imagine how it'd be for, you know, a rocket or even an astronaut. Can you imagine leaving the atmosphere? It's not possible. So, Sean, you spot on there. There's not a lot we can do once we get high enough. Can you imagine what they're trying to convince you of? We landed on the moon. Them lads should have come back and they should have been winning the land up for them.
Yeah, he was talking about the International Geophysical Year, and I thought that was great. That was not on this show, but some other show, because... Yeah, that's where they established Mr. Van Allen. That's where he took his measurements, supposedly was from Antarctica, to establish that there's this radiation belt and such. And the IGY was it 52, I think?
Was it a year and a half it lasted?
Sean would have to. I'm not going to do research on the fly here, but yeah, just people look into the International Geophysical Year.
Nevertheless, all these achievements were achieved in that year, and they were milestones. So, no, this, we know this now, we know this now, we know this now. So there are a set of rules or compliances that you've got to be able to convince people you can get to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Set of rules. Almost there. You get the scripts for a film, you get the dailies, you get the rushes, you get the live show at the end of it.
Yeah, and I guess to just expand it out, wherever you're at in your conspiracy journey, maybe you imagine that there's some people at the top who really know what's going on and who really know what's what. But what if there isn't anyone who really knows what's what? What if they're just making shit up to control us? that's a fun idea. But.
Do you know, I always put the same analogy as, can you imagine someone just said to you, you've got to look after 6 children, the 6 weeks holidays over summer. And he said, right, you've got a month to work out what you're going to do. So after that, after about 3 weeks, you'd have all these different itineraries lined up for kids. When you'd be going, right, I'm going to do this on that day, I'm going to do this. Everything you could think of, you would have squeezed in. But then you get them for the 6 weeks holidays. I consider that what they're doing to us. It's just a list of achievements, a list of jobs, a list of, remedial tasks and, yeah, fighting and war in between.
It's like a rat in a maze. You show them where the cheese is and let them sniff it out the next time, and you alter the labyrinth, and then the rat's still going to try to go back where the cheese was, and it's not there this time. And it's got to find a new route to it.
Yeah, good luck. Well, no, I think Sean's brilliant in the way he looks into stuff, because I look into stuff exactly that same way, and that is the best way of looking at it. Just to say, right, no, hang on, this doesn't make sense. Let's use your own judgment, your eyes, and what's possible. what's provable. And a lot of people now, they go out on a limb. Now I go out on a limb and I'll say, look, I believe this, but I won't throw the words I believe in front of it. But these fucking counties or these scientists, they didn't say I believe now. They just literally stand up there and speak lies to you blatantly. And people believe them because there's other people sort of going, oh yeah, bravo. And you've got that, you've got the you know, being hired for prestige. People get jobs now at universities and higher seats of learning because the wages lift. Not the best wage for them, but, you know, they're looked upon. It's an accolade. It's a lot. Half the things these people believe in or, pass on, they're not provable. And they change on a yearly basis. And yet we still, you know, imagine road safety measures changing on a yearly basis. You know, different car manufacturers would obviously be firing the scene. I mean, you wouldn't keep looking at Ford saying, oh, these are the best cars going. If Honda were making their, you know, safety seats. And it's the same in our business, apart from the medical business. These are always the people that come up with the best ideas.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in the 90s, you know, and we had a television in every classroom, and occasionally we were allowed to watch it. And what we got was this program called Channel One, which I'm not sure where it came from, but they showed Pepsi advertisements. And funny enough, Pepsi actually owns the trademark for the word flat earth. And
what?
I've seen this coming out now too, but I actually looked into this like last year. I was doing a trademark search for flat earth, and it was sure enough owned by Pepsi Corporation. And now I hear people saying that KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken, owns flatearth.com. But
yeah, they're both part of PepsiCo.
Yeah, exactly. So, but where
wow, that's a great nugget.
Yeah, it is. I thought that was really interesting. And, you know, the patent, the trademark was set to expire in like September of 2016, but I guess they renewed it. But we had this TV in every classroom, right? So we watched this Channel One, which showed us the Israel-Palestine conflict with Lisa Ling and a couple MTV like people. That one guy, Gideon Yago, I think, was on there. If you remember him?
And, was Serena Altschul?
I think she was. She probably appeared on there a few times. Yeah. And but we also would get to see Bill Nye the Science Guy on that same television with his PBS show, the show that was on public broadcasting. So yeah, obviously this guy is put out there to totally brainwash kids with like the mainstream science deal.
Yeah, did you see the post I did on the Altschul family? Because I included a bunch of stuff about all those names and Channel One.
Oh really? Okay. In that.
Yeah, because yeah, Serena Altschul was she got her start there. Anderson Cooper got his start there.
Hmm.
Lisa and Laura Ling got their start at Channel One News. Yeah. And this guy Mitch Koss, he was like the cameraman, and he was also the cameraman for True Life when Serena went to MTV, and he was the cameraman when Laura Ling and Lisa Ling both got arrested in North Korea. He was there as well, but somehow he slipped the police in Korea and got arrested in China. So yeah, we didn't have Channel One at my school, but we were sponsored by Pepsi. Like there were Pepsi banners everywhere, and Pepsi and Gatorade had the contract where it was just their machines.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they also had to have advertising, so I can relate there. Man, that Altschul family is totally tied to propaganda, like up and down. And yeah, it's just, you bring that up with Channel One. I've never heard anyone mention it before.
Do you know, I'm going to say something really alien to you. I'm 40. And if I were to drink in school, I'd go to the toilets and drink it all the time.
Say again?
I didn't understand you.
I had to go and drink if I wanted to drink out the tap. I know. How bad is that? That just shows you, literally. the amount of advertising. I'm seeing it. I must be seeing it more than you. You're in Disneyland, man. I mean, we're in Disneyland as well. No, we're in Harry Potter land. You wait till you get all of that. But no, it's Disneyland. And do you know what? Yous are waking up and you're looking around and everyone's seeing around you and the people who are in charge, the artists, that's where they are. They don't even realise that people are waking up. They're still doing this fucking merry dance and it's not working, but some people are still involved and will watch that. So they're watching that. Now there's a new show and that's for us lot. And it's that interactive talking. What we're doing now on, you know, different things. And some of these people you talk to aren't real. They can't be. Understand? Does that make sense to me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I really do think that's the way it's going.
Yeah, you know, until I meet you in person, you could just be a bot, an AI
person. Hey, I'm real. I know. I said to you, that knows. You, I said, yeah, well, I said, that knows, you're real.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. You just walk straight into punches. You don't even stick one on someone. Yeah, you're my kind of guy, man. Don't worry, James. I know you're real, mate. And I'm not going to try and prove I'm real. See, I'll read a book first. I'll try and prove I read a book before I try and prove I'm real. But no, it looks to me that's the way it's going. It really does. It's this next level. We're going to say, all right, we can, you know, we've traded water now for 12, 13 years since September, you know, 2004. And we've got all our puppets in the way there. We've done all the rhetoric. We know all the phone-ins. We know what people react when they phone in. You know, there's lots of homework been done. Remember, I'm new to this, but, you know, I can see where it's been done. There's lots of revelations where you can have counteractive points. For instance, nuclear weapons. Now, that came and went like a fire in the wind, but nevertheless, I shouldn't have done. You know, why did no one pay attention to it? Considering now that, you know, a lot of these truth seekers are people who've got big listenerships, don't believe in nuclear weapons. To me, that says, oh, well, you know, maybe you can push and get a load of, you know, a load of people together and stop nuclear weapons. No one's pushing for that. These are all on the flat earth. They've moved on. We're no longer, you know, truth seekers with flat earth. There's something going on there as well. There's an entwinement going on, which I'm really am wary about. Whether it's people against, you know, loggerheads like we see on Hoaxbusters, or if it's people getting along, you know, agreeing with each other, like on another show. There's still something weird about it, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're left with the question, why does KFC, why does Pepsi Cola own this trademark, this domain, flatearth.com? Because you type it in, there's nothing there. So is it for like some future marketing campaign or obviously something greater, you know? It's...
Hey, well, I'll tell you what, how about this then? Obviously, you know my views on Back to the Future being the most alchemical film going. How about if Pepsi, being they're the main sponsor on Back to the Future, you know, because this is a Pepsi line and things, and seeing as time travel would only be possible on a flat plane, especially if he was moving around in space and you know, you travel through time on your own planet, you'd end up in a different part of space. So maybe that's why they've trademarked it. Does that make sense?
Not really. I'm sorry.
Well, basically, time travel would be possible if it was a flat stationary plane.
Would it? How?
Yeah. No, because if you do try and time on a planet, then you're going to be in a different part of the universe. You know, you're going to leave that planet as it's moving throughout the universe. On a flat plane, you'd be flat and level where you are. No?
So you could go back to yesterday how?
No, I'm not saying time travel would be possible. I'm saying if it was possible, it'd make more sense on a flat plane because then you're not having to retrace your steps through the universe. You're just coming back on yourself. So maybe that's why Pepsi sponsored it because they had a lot to do with Back to the Future. James, it was spurious at best.
That's unreal.
I was grabbing at straws there, literally. But no, I think it's the movie generation that you've been in. I've had it as well, the 80s, the 90s. We've had these space films. We've had it all. It's wore off. You, in particular, can see all the different angles, every angle. you're coming from. And it's scary, you know, because I mean, over here, I just look at it and go, oh, you're being lied to. Over there, you can see from all these different angles, you can say, well, we're being lied to on this level, and this level, and this level. And I'm not saying it's downhearted, but it must be virtually impossible to have a daily conversation with someone about, you know, about normal things.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Okay, so if we want to go that route, yeah, I mean, what benefit does any of this have on our daily lives? Does speculating about time travel on a flat earth help us grow a garden?
No, not at all, man. So, none of this does. It seems to be the spark that we need to sort of get involved with people, and then you realize that there's more important things to talk about.
I guess Mason has left. SMJ is gone, so it's just us now. And I'm content to wrap it up. I don't know if we can take this much further. I don't have a lot more to say, really.
No. But that's what I mean. Once we get into these things, and you go, right, this could be this. You sort of end up agreeing on sort of saying, well, let's talk about something we can all agree on. And I don't mean conspiracy wise. I mean, like I said, gardening. Something that's going to do. Well, I think we all agree to turn the telly off. You know, turn the TV off, should I say. I think we all agree don't pay attention to mainstream media.
Yeah.
You know, so we're actually contributing to it. So, yeah, pretty much, you know, we shut this down.
That's a good foundation to go with. Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
it makes sense. It really does. But nevertheless, please be vigilant. And not only that, what are your crops? We've got a Berkey advert coming up, James. Don't worry. Yeah, we've got a Berkey advert coming up, and we've also got some iodine from there below the. So, was it Denver Airport? Denver Airport iodine.
Yeah, get your water filter, buy gold and tangy tangerine, and dried.
It was a big seller years ago. What was the one? See, I'm new. It was Judy Wood's book. Don't forget Judy Wood's book. Judy Wood's book actually is a pop-out book, and it's got the real planes that flew into the towers. Pops out, and they're there, because he wasn't there on the day. They're in the book. No, I'm only kidding. No, James, at the end of the day, I think we can all agree that, you know, I think a lot of people agree on more things than you disagree on, because it's very hard to disagree when your disagreement is tenuous at best, which is what most of us do agree. You know, oh no, I don't agree with that. Like, people say, oh no, there was hijackers, there wasn't hijackers, you know, everything. It's all tenuous. It's all seen on telly and given to us. So even if we disagree on it, we're only disagreeing on it. And the deck chairs should be on the Titanic. I think me and you know where they should be. You know. Anyway, mate, I'll bid you a good night. And thanks for chatting.
All right. Yeah. Good point there. Good point to end on. Take care.
Take care.
Peace. Hi, I'm Psyopticon, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio.